Welcome once again to the Sailor's Port Call Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Sarowski. And before we get started, I want to thank everyone who's reached out to provide feedback about the podcast. I appreciate the love, and I encourage you all to continue to give me the good, the bad, and the ugly after each episode. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Sailor's Port Call. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel for interview videos. And with that, I want to introduce today's guest, Rhea Doctolaro. Rhea, say hi to the audience.
Hey, guys. I'm back, but not to be annoying. I promise.
Rhea, thanks for coming on again. Could you share a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So I'm the owner of Worth the Wait Fitness. It's a personal training, military-run, military-owned company. I am a dog lover and mom to Hot Dog Hazel. Follow her on Insta. She's a little cutie. And for the next roughly five-ish months, I'm an officer in the military. And I'm ready to move on to bigger and better things.
And to give a little background to the audience who didn't catch our Change My Mind special, you and I met a few years ago when I was stationed with you out there in Oakland. And we became friends through our passion for running, which I am way better than you at. And that passion became a strong bond. And now, of course, we are dating. But you're bae. And if you can see, in the background, I got some pictures of her up there on the wall.
We never really got to the bottom. With Jason and I, we always argue over who was pursuing who. Because some of us were actually looking for a fitness partner, i.e. me. You know, I had innocent intentions. Other people had ulterior motives. So I thought, we were both just trying to get running buddies. But apparently somebody was trying to get something else.
Yeah. You want me to tell the story about insanity or no?
Go ahead. Yeah. It's not... He's going to make it sound way worse than it actually is, though.
No. So we were running a couple times. We went running, and we were friends at work and all that stuff. And then, of course, Rhea's like, oh, you have insanity? I'd love to get that so I can use it. Can you put it on my computer? I'm like, yeah, I'll put it on a flash drive or whatever, and I'll bring it over. So I did all that, and I came over to her house. And then we were talking, just having a good time, joking. And then, like, she gave me your computer. And then I'm going through the files on your computer. And I see, hey, there's a folder for insanity here. Like, I'm like, do you know you had a folder? Did you already make this folder? And you're like, no. And I opened up, and it's the whole damn thing of insanity, like the whole video set. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I see why you invited me over. You use this fake insanity lore to bring me over so we could hang out. But it was funny. Oh.
and I will tell you, that was not intentional. I was mortified when he showed me that folder and he was like, did you make this? Like, no, because what had happened was while I was on my ship, everyone, like being on a cutter, everyone exchanges files and movies and workout stuff. And Sandy was one of those things I had asked for when I was on my ship, but I totally forgot that I had it on my computer. So when I asked for him again and he found it on my computer already, I was like, oh, oops, this doesn't look.
Yeah, as it was on your desktop. It took me 2 seconds to find it. It was on your desktop in plain sight. That's sus.
Not everybody clicks on all the files on their folder. I'm sure you have like 200 folders on your home screen that you don't click on.
Mm, so. No, I don't. I'm looking at them all right now, and I know all of them.
Well, so other people do.
So yeah, I would say that you lured me to your house.
No.
Pursued me.
Jason pursued me because he kept promising me spaghetti dinners that never happened. So, and I still am waiting for that spaghetti dinner because I ended up making the spaghetti that one time. Oh, I guess you made me spaghetti before, but
yes, I made you.
It wasn't what I was promised. I was promised like a wine and dine spaghetti dinner.
Well, the problem is we had spaghetti, but I was going to cook it, and then you took over the kitchen, as you always do, and you're a much better cook than I am. So I didn't like argue with you. But you took over the kitchen, and then this whole story turned into like, I ended up making the spaghetti and you were supposed to, but I was kind of like, I was helpless in that situation.
And the only other time that you made me this pasta, it was penis pasta. And that wasn't even for me. That was for your roommate.
Yeah, that was weird. that was really weird. it was Ernie and Gina. Was Curtis there?
Curtis was not there. But yeah, maybe we'll table this conversation for another time.
Yeah, that was the penis pops is a strange situation. But all right, so you're in your transition, like you said, for the military. You're transitioning soon, and you are, where are you going?
So yeah, I'll be moving in with Jason, jumping coast. So I'm currently in Alameda, California, and I'll be going over to College Park, Maryland, where all the great people live.
That's right. That's going to be exciting. Are you scared?
No. I hope you're ready, though, because living with someone's different. Although this is my first experience living with somebody, so it's definitely going to be different for me. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm not nervous. We'll see what happens.
Is Hazel excited? Let me see. Tell me, Hazel.
I don't know. She just wants a place to nap.
Yeah. Well, she'll be okay. Her and Andre can nap in peace in separate rooms, and it'll be fun.
We'll see.
They can coexist. All right, babe. So you know that this is a Leadership and Politics podcast because you're my Instagram manager. So you have, you know, this is a Leadership and Politics podcast, but it wouldn't be a poor call without some beers and some bullshit. What are you drinking tonight?
I am having, so for those of you who don't follow me on Insta or don't know about me, I'm currently in the middle of training for a physique competition. So I will not be drinking alcohol, but I am drinking some Moroccan mint tea, which is delicious, in my awesome office mug. And if you're on YouTube, you can see this, but it's like the best mug ever.
I've got water in my Worth the Weight water bottle, which is my favorite water bottle. Always repping. It's customary to take a drink on camera. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bulb noises optional.
I feel a little hot. I burn my tongue for you, so that's love.
That is love. You're the best. All right. So, what's on your mind for our lighthearted talk before we get into the leadership stuff? What's going on with you besides all this transition stuff?
So a lot's going on with me, but one of the things that I recently gotten into, as you know, is the minimalist wardrobe. Not fully committing to a minimalist lifestyle. I am from Miami. I do love stuff. I don't like clutter, but I do like to buy things. And I don't think I would be happy if I lived with just like the bare minimum. But I did adopt a minimalist wardrobe. So basically I gave myself a uniform. I bought sustainable clothing. So all the clothes that I chose to buy in my uniform were some sort of company that either was eco-friendly, so they're like vegan products, or they're recycled materials, or they were a company that had a greater mission. So for example, one of the companies I bought this shirt is Bombas, and they started off as a sock company, but now they have t-shirts and stuff. And I will say this is like one of the softest t-shirts I've ever worn. So I'm like pumped about these, but for every t-shirt you buy, they donate one to the homeless. So I really was trying to look for companies that had a mission, because these were going to be like the same clothes I use over and over and over again. Yeah, I'm liking it so far. This is like day four of wearing the same clothes over and over and over again. And people don't notice, which is like, it's funny because when I talk to my friends, like, oh, people are going to think you're dirty. And the only reason why people would notice is A, if I say something, or like on my Instagram, it's going to look weird as I do multiple posts. I'm wearing the same thing in every single post, but most people don't notice, which I thought would be like a big deal, but it's not.
Yeah. And even if they notice, it's a cool conversation starter, because you can tell them why you're doing it and what are the benefits of minimalist wardrobe?
So my whole reasoning behind it, my reasoning is very selfish. It's not because I'm trying to, reduce my environmental impact and, combat fast fashion, although it does all those things. It's more so about just efficiency and decision fatigue. As I go into my civilian life as a project manager, you make a lot of decisions daily. And it's just like in my just life in general, between like running a business, my own personal endeavors, and my soon to be corporate work life. You're just constantly making decisions all day, every day. And if I could just eliminate one more thing that I really that really doesn't bother me that much. You know, that's another check in the box. So that for me was my wardrobe. I've never been one to like really identify myself by my wardrobe, you know? So like me wearing the same thing doesn't make me feel like any less of a person or whatever, you know? So yeah, just for me, it's all about just being efficient and trying to eliminate some of that decision fatigue.
Well, I liken it to two things, to the military for us, because it's super easy to get up and put the uniform on every day, the same uniform, same boots, same thing, and then not have to think about it. You know what you have to wear. And then to schools that have uniforms. Mm-hmm. Like when the kids went to the school in the Bahamas and had uniforms, it was super easy. It was the same thing every day. You just bought five pairs of khaki shorts and five shirts. Like super easy. Don't have to worry about it. And you get on with your day. So it makes total sense.
And I mean, I feel like I'm just practicing for my billionaire lifestyle. Like Steve Jobs, what's he wearing? What was he wearing every day? You know, like when you look at all these people that have, or like they're millionaires and billionaires, their wardrobe is pretty simple. Depending on their line of work, because if they're a celebrity, obviously you got to be more fashionable. But you'll see like lots of millionaires and billionaires just keeping their wardrobe pretty simple. And I'm like, okay, well, this is just billionaire practice.
Yeah, Zuckerberg does it.
He does.
He wears like gray t-shirts and jeans every day or something, but he doesn't have to worry about it. Yeah, flip flops. Yeah, he doesn't need to buy socks. It's perfect. All right, so let's get to the leadership stuff. So first of all, happy Women's History Month to you.
Thank you.
I've always loved your passion and drive, and you have some of the best work ethic I've ever seen in my life. You're super strong. You're intelligent. You've been through a lot. It's not easy to be a Black female military officer, and you are phenomenal at it. And then on top of that, you deal with being a business owner and entrepreneur, and you're on the go all the time. Like literally from the time you wake up, the time you go to sleep, you're working on yourself or working on a project or whatever. So I really love all of that about you. Like you are a phenomenal person. So that's the reason why I wanted to have you on. So since you're transitioning, I don't want to talk about the Coast Guard stuff. There's plenty of Coast Guard on this podcast. So let's focus on your business and like your future. Okay. So my first question for you is, what made you want to be a fitness trainer?
Yeah. So growing up, my dad was very, very big into fitness and just like health and well-being in general. And he always had us like outside exercising. And originally just me until my little sister came along, but I was outside either running, doing some sort of push-ups. Like he, at one point he had me running like football plays and like just anything to be outside. And he was like, you know, we're going to be outside for a minimum of an hour every single day. And then even like my diet, like we never had candy in the house, which is why I think I have such a bad sweet tooth now. Cause like dessert, if you wanted dessert, it was fruit. You were hungry, grab a fruit. Like everything, like the sweetest thing that I really got to eat was like cereal. Like that was like, oh, like that was like my treat. And then sometimes you would buy those like little Scooby snack gummy bears. And that was like another treat, but that was like few and far between. Like you never, ever, ever got candy. Like I can count on one hand how many candy bars I had growing up. So naturally growing up, fitness was always something that like I did. And we would go to like the YMCA and we go to some of those fitness classes. And I just loved the environment. We started off like doing spin. And like I did spinning for, I don't know, my entire like high school time at the YMCA. And I just loved going in. I loved the music. I loved the people. And like people were like jamming out and like screaming like, woo! Like it's just like, it's almost like being at a party, you know, it feels good. And then I started going to some of the fitness classes that the same instructors that I like that taught spin, they also did some fitness classes. So I would go to their fitness classes and they would just be like bumping and just having a good time. And everyone, even though like what you're doing kind of sucks, we were all just having a great time. And also I'm just naturally competitive. So it was another area besides being in like a student athlete that I could just kind of like compete against people, even though they don't know they're in a competition, I'm in the competition and I'm beating everybody. So growing up, fitness was always a big thing. So when I got to the academy, I played around with sports. I did track and cross country just because that's what I did in high school. But then I got really big into like working out, and I kind of went back to my roots of just like, I just like being in the gym. So I would take my friends and I would run like mini fitness classes. So I do like circuit style workouts. I would do like little fun like spin classes, like mini spin classes, like in the like we had like a little like cardio room. And I was just doing this for fun. I really didn't have anything else. I just really enjoyed doing this. Like, it was like my little release from the academy. So when I got to my first boat, I got to be like the health and wellness officer on board. So then I started like a little fitness program on there. And I was just having fun. And like, mind you, I wasn't even thinking about being a personal trainer yet. I was just like, I really love getting people moving and I love the way they feel. I love like after that, they're just like, thank you. Like, I really needed this. Or like, I'm so happy I did that. Like, I've never, you know, you never have somebody walk out of workout and be like, damn it, I hated that. I'm never coming back. It's I'm sure that happens to maybe sometimes it happens, you know. I don't say it's never happened in the entire history of working out, but I've never experienced it. And it's been 99.9% positive, you know? So then once I got out here, I realized, okay, like, let me get my personal training certification. Like, I love working out. I love helping people. I love like being able to assist in someone's like journey, like in like physically they look better, internally they feel better, and I just love being a part of that journey. And I didn't really know where I was going with it. I didn't know that I would be starting a company. Definitely not. But I knew I just wanted to do this like professionally, and I'm like, why not make this why not make my hobby into something that's actually like I can actually get paid to do, and I can do more than just my friends. I can actually, you know, meet some like strangers that become like clients, and those clients become friends. So that's kind of where it started. That's a long-winded answer to answer your simple question.
No, that's good. And then, so you started the business, and it's been almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually,
it'll be two, I think, in like June.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to have this big old 1 year anniversary party that never happened because COVID ruined my plans, but we'll see what happens this year.
Anyway, we're going to have a 2 year party. We had a cake for your 1 year party.
Yeah. It was very cool. Very small. I'm talking about like an actual party. Me and you just had a cake that was like celebrating amongst
yeah.
But like, I wanted an actual like party. Like, I was going to rent out a venue and like throw a huge party. COVID had other.
Well, so you're almost, it's almost 2 years old, and you've been trudging along with your clients and enjoying that. So now that you've had 2 years and you've been training multiple clients and you've kind of found your groove for at least the training portion of it, because I know you have bigger plans than just training, but what's some of the leadership stuff that you have learned or that you implement when you're working with clients?
Yeah. So it's funny because I don't know if people really view being a personal trainer as a leader, but I 100% see it as you're leading people. You're trying to, like, leaders, what they do is they motivate and inspire people to do things that they might not necessarily want to do, but that they need to do. And that's exactly what I do in my personal training. Like, and you can, you know, I might argue like, of course they want to do it. Yeah, they're paying you. But There's a lot of like people's mouth doesn't always connect with what their mind actually wants. And they can tell me like, I'm super motivated and I'm ready to do this. And like my motivation level is 10 out of 10. And then when push comes to shove and I'm like, okay, well, we're going to have to work out 5 days a week. We're going to work out for an hour. We're going to do these, this, this. It's like, oh, wait, I wasn't actually that ready. And it's my job to be like, to motivate them and inspire them to want to do it, you know? So one of the things that really, I don't know, it really, really highlights the fact that like you are a leader is the way that like when people come to you and just like, when they're coming to you for that guidance, and there's like two parts to it. One is more, I guess you could say like structured and like there's textbook like, so like there's like the actual physical working out portion where that stuff you can, there's a right and wrong. Like if they want to know how to squat properly, like there's only one way to squat properly. And there, you know, like there's very specific ways to do things. But the other half, and in this where your leadership kind of style comes in, is like, how do you motivate these people to do things that they might not necessarily like, and they might not necessarily be comfortable with doing in a way that like inspires them? Cause not that you have to change your teaching style depending on the person. Just like a leader has to change their leadership style depending on the person. So some people, they like that kind of tough love, boot camp instructor. You're going to do this right now. Like, you don't have an option. Well, other people need more of like a softer, you know, like, come on, like, you got this. Like, let's keep it up. Like, you finish line's in sight, you know? So I have to adapt my styles depending on who I'm training at the moment. And yeah, a good feeling. I love this.
I feel like there's two main reasons why people hire a trainer. The first one is because they don't know how to do the exercises, and the trainer helps them get the right form, like you were saying. And the second one is absolutely because they might want to do it, but they know they can't do it. They can't push themselves, or they're not going to get out of bed that morning or whatever. So they need somebody to kick them in the ass. Like, they are actually looking for leadership, for that leadership. And that's why they hire you, because they know that you're going to push them and text them like, hey, you're coming in, you know, in an hour, right? Or like, you know, you got homework to do, or whatever it is that you do with them. It's that constant push and that constant motivation. So it is absolutely leadership. Being a personal trainer is absolutely leadership. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And then the other part is like being a leader, like they're coming to you because they trust your, like, your knowledge and experience, you know, that's why you're put in that position to lead others. So I know that my certification gives me validation, but also like my physique gives me validation. My testimonials from my other clients gives me validation, and you maintain all of those different aspects so that people know that you're a credible leader.
So what are some ways that you motivate people?
Yeah. So one of the I feel like the best ways to motivate people is really finding out what their passion is to, like, in their everyday life. So for example, my clients with kids, I really talk to them about being an example for their little people. Like, and granted, I have clients with kids that are 20 plus years old, 10 years old, to like little babies. And I remind them that like your children are looking to you to set that example. So whatever you're doing and whatever you're like consistent with, that's what they're going to see and what they're going to adapt. So you understand why you're in this position now, where you want a personal trainer, why you need to get back in shape, and you don't want them to have to like go through that same struggle. So set the example for them now, and you know, you can be that positive role model for them, and that really gets to them. Or like, for example, if their passions are food, and I'm like, okay, like there needs to be a balance. Like, I know you love to eat, you know, X, Y, Z. And I want you to look at it as, I hate when people are like, oh, if I do 10 burpees and that equals one donut, like that's not what I'm trying to get at. It's more so trying to get at, there's a balance and there's a healthy way to maintain your lifestyle. And you know, maybe if like, for example, my thing's donuts. I love donuts. You know, I love donuts. But it like emphasizing like, okay, like if you're going to have, you know, a donut on Saturday, like let's make sure we get out and get active and like do like a hike on Sunday. Like get, like make it a part of whatever you're trying to do. Like if it's like a post, it could be like a post workout brunch style type thing. Like you already, you know, you did your workout, then let's go out and you can do brunch. But making sure that you're keeping that balance so that one doesn't outweigh the other, because you also don't want to be like a workout maniac and you're miserable and you're unhappy, and then it's hard to maintain that. You want to make sure that both sides are happy. And then of course the obvious and just like easy, or I want to say easiest way to motivate people, but more so it's more so applies when people are like you trying to get like a certain physical aspect, is, you know, you motivate them with the numbers on, like with the progress that they're making. So I'm like, and they come in and I weigh them and they're down 4 pounds. I'm like, okay, like this is great. So next time I weigh you, like, let's not lose this. Let's not lose this momentum. Like let's build on it and don't go back to where you were, because we're already on a good roll. So let's keep it up. That, you know, that really helps people. But it's really all about finding whatever their internal motivation is. And then of course the other piece of like motivating, and this is why I feel like a lot of people get a personal trainer, is that accountability portion. Like they want someone that'll kind of be there, like as their personal cheerleader slash, like, I don't say like disciplinary person because I'm not like disciplining anybody, but I'm definitely like, hey, did you do your workout? Hey, like if I see them on Instagram out partying, I'm like, okay, I saw you out there eating whatever, doing whatever, but did you do your workout this morning? Because they have at home workouts they're supposed to be doing when they're not seeing me. So that's always in the back of their mind, and they know that like if I don't work out, Rhea's gonna know. Or when they show up to my in-person session with me and they're like sucking ass, I'm like, you didn't do your workouts, did you? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, this session is gonna suck and it's gonna be painful because you didn't work out prior. And that's, they're like, okay, like I don't want that feeling. I don't want to have to tell Rhea that I didn't do my workout. I don't want to show up and I'm unprepared. Like I don't want to be that person. So just having me there to like kind of remind them and pushing them also motivates.
So how do you find you're talking about their motivating factors, and each person is something different. Like, how do you, like, it's hard when you're meeting somebody for the first time and you don't work with them, you know, you're not working with them a lot, and you have to figure out how to get to them. Like, how do you do that?
So the great thing about being a personal trainer is you see your clients once, twice, maybe three times a week. So in these times and during these sessions, I'm not just like, do your push-ups. And I just sit there and like, do some squats. And I just kind of sit there. Like, I get to talk to them. I get to learn them. I get to, like, we have an initial consultation where I go through all that kind of stuff with them, where I ask them, tell me a little bit about you. And I've been doing this for long enough where I can kind of pick a couple things out of their like little introduction that I'm like, okay, like these things sound like they're important. And I put them in the back of my mind so that during our sessions, I'm like, I like bring it up. Like, oh, hey, like, you know, you mentioned you have a daughter, like how's she doing? Blah, 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 like things like that. And that, yeah, this comes with like just getting to know them and talking to them and seeing them so frequently that I can like honestly say that some of my clients have grown to be my friends just because we see each other. We talk to each other so much. I talk to some of my clients more than I talk to some actual people that like are my friends, you know, and that doesn't make them any less my friends. I just happen to see my clients more. So yeah, it's just like listening to them and actually like what they say matters, you know, like I actually care about what they're saying. They're not, it's not just lip service and I'm not just doing it because I think I should be, but I'm doing it because I genuinely want to know. And I genuinely want to make sure that I care about them and they know that I care about them. So.
Yeah, that's been a common theme on the podcast in leadership is that people have always in any industry, they listen to people and find out what makes them tick and they actually care about their lives and what's going on in their personal lives. And that's, sounds like it's exactly the same in training, and it just shows that is such a key factor in any leadership in any industry, really just sitting down and talking to the people that you work with and getting to know them is like, that's the building block in my opinion.
Yeah. And even the, like, especially during this like COVID time in this pandemic, when sometimes the only interaction that these people are getting is with me, and the only time that they're stepping outside of, you know, either being in front of the computer working from home or being with their children all day or, you know, just seeing the same significant other like 24/7 is when they get to come and like talk to me and like see me in person and like we get to like catch up and they get just like there's something a little bit more fresh in their life. It's like a little bit of like, okay, someone different I can talk to, someone that's not going to say the same things over and over again. So yeah. Yeah. Being like knowing your people as in leadership, like it's so important.
All right. So tell me about, so along with your business and the training aspect, you have your Instagram influencing and it's obviously your business page, but what is like, what's the goal and what are you trying to accomplish with your Instagram?
Yeah. So it's funny that you asked that just because I've been kind of going back and forth with what is my page? What, like, this is like, is this my business page or is this me? And I've come to this realization that they're it's a merger of the two. Like my business is who I am. And I want to make sure I show that because unlike, for example, when someone, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, but like when someone like picks like, a doctor or a dentist. They don't really care about who they are as a person. They just want to know, like, did you get your doctorate? Did you go to a credible school? All right, is this a clean office? Okay, great. Like, you're gonna be my doctor.
Wait, and you've been sued?
Yeah. And like you see these people two, maybe three times, four times a year, depending on how healthy you are. You know, you might be in the doctor's office all the time, which isn't a great thing. But most people, you're seeing your doctor maybe three times a year. Whereas if you have a personal trainer, you're seeing them every single week. And you want to make sure it's a person that clicks for you. And that a person that you feel comfortable being with. And it's a two-way street where me as a personal trainer, I want to work with a client that wants to work with me, but also I want to work with them. I don't go in with this mindset that like, I accept that I'm taking in every single person that comes to me because I might not be a good fit for that person. I might not be the best trainer for them. And we might not have the best, like my personality might just not fit for them. So on my Instagram, I really try to show who I am as a person. And I found that just being like my genuine, authentic self has brought people to me that I wasn't even trying to get. Like, I wasn't trying to get more clients. Like, I've never actually done any like marketing campaigns or like targeted ads or anything like that. But I've always had a steady flow of clientele from word of mouth. Or people just like finding me on Instagram being like, hey, I really like your page. I really like you as a trainer. Like, what are your prices? And I'm like, and this is me. I'm not even like trying. Like, this is just me just being on Instagram and just enjoying it. Cause part of it, I have a love hate relationship with social media. Cause I love it as a content creator. I love making Instagram content. I do your Instagram because I just love making stuff for Instagram. I hate scrolling. I hate like the time wasting that comes with, you know, scrolling through an Instagram, you know, feed or whatever.
You like creating, not consuming.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. So I try to be very intentional with what I'm putting out there because I'm like, okay, if someone's going to spend 10 seconds looking at whatever I'm looking at, well, at least make it good. So I really like just kind of showing my personality and just like entertaining people and letting people know, like, I'm a person. Like, sometimes people look at, you know, you see like someone on Instagram and you get like this still picture of them. You're like, you draw your conclusions on them based on this picture that has no personality, no, it doesn't have anything on it. And I don't want people to feel like they need to draw a conclusion on me based on this picture, like a still picture. Like, I want them to see, like, I put out videos. I put out, you know, I put out a lot of like my kind of philosophies. I put out just a lot of stuff that lets people know who I am. So they don't have to like figure out who I am.
Yeah.
And it's just like a great way to kind of get like feedback on either what you're doing as like a company or what you're doing as a person. Like, I've had people reach out to me and be like, hey, Rhea, like, I saw you were doing XYZ, but I think it'd be great if you did it this way. Or like, those give me like little critiques. And I love that. I love getting feedback. I mean, you ask for feedback every week on your podcast because it's so valuable. And you know, it's like genuine and raw because it's like unsolicited. Like, those are like people. Yeah. Actually feeling, they're not trying to like fluff you up or like care about your feelings. Like, they're gonna like tell you what you don't want to hear maybe, but what you need to hear.
Yeah, I do. I love when people message me and tell me like, you need to do this. Or I saw I had a review that said, you know, it told me to switch up something and you know, so now I'm gonna try to do a couple episodes that kind of switch the style or switch the topic. Yeah, we'll talk about that offline.
New surprises.
But yeah, I love the feedback, whether it's positive or negative or actually there's I don't think it's negative. I call it just constructive criticism. You know, it's nice to have that. So your Instagram it's a reflection of you and it shows people the real you, and it does help with clientele and the business, which is awesome. And it's the way to get feedback. So what are your goals for the Instagram? Are you trying to be like a full-fledged influencer, or is it something that you just want to continue to maintain for the business?
Yeah. So I think as Worth the Wait starts to grow and I take on other trainers and I and it moves into like what I consider phase two of what I want it to be. It's definitely either I'm going to have to kind of switch this page to my personal slash fitness page, which is kind of like what it is now, and make another specific Worth the Wait business page where I like highlight my other trainers, I highlight client testimonials. And it's less about me because I'll have other people that the company represents, or I just like shift my current page into that company page that it's less about me, more about, you know, the other people. But I think I'm going to do the first option just because I still want to be my authentic self and I still want to put content out there that I enjoy and hopefully other people enjoy and like that makes people laugh. Just because it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll be helping you. I'll be holding the camera for you.
Liking all the pictures.
Yeah, liking all the pictures, saving everything, and I'll be filming all your craziness.
Yes, you will.
All right. So let's jump into your future plan. We'll talk about that real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you know, I'm getting ready to move, trying to figure out. So it's crazy that like being in the military, you move so often, you know, every 3 years, I feel like, or 2 to 3 years, depending on how long your tour is, you should get like a kind of a methodology down and like, it's like easy, but it still doesn't get any easier. Like I always end up with junk that I don't know why I bought. And like, I'm trying to like now go through this like mad dash of like selling things I don't need. And I'm like, Rhea, why would you buy this? Like, why would someone, do you think someone else wants to buy this too? Like, or is this like, okay, I'm just going to get rid of everything. Yeah. So it's just like, I'm all over the place, as you know, trying to figure out what I'm keeping, what I'm taking, like, especially now that I'm moving in with you, like I'm in a move with myself, it's easy because I'm like, okay, like everything I have is just going to go into my new place. But you have a place already. You have furniture. You have all this stuff. And I'm just like, well, I guess I'll just put my stuff in storage. Okay. So if I'm putting my stuff in storage, what do I want to keep long term and what can I get rid of? It's been a whole new experience for me trying to prepare to move in with somebody else. So.
Yeah, but your stuff's way nicer.
Yeah.
Just assume that when we get a bigger place, it's going to be mainly your stuff and maybe like handpicked. Like my stuff might be the spare bedroom or something.
Yeah. Not that lamp though. I do not like that lamp.
That's my favorite lamp. That's going to be my podcast
lamp. That no frills lamp. Yeah, there's no frills. I cannot. Yeah. Once we move in June, hopefully I'm buying a house and I have my like, job and stuff set up so that we can have like a bigger place and you'll be recording your podcast in like an actual like little mini studio.
Yes. Upgrade. All right. Upgrade. So speaking of June, you have a show.
I do. So in Palm Springs, I've got my physique show, my first one. And it's funny because like I've had people ask me for the longest time, like, Rhea, are you going to do a show? Are you going to do a show? And I've been like, no, like, why would I do that? And I finally met a coach that was like, hey, like, let's do it. She's an Olympian, like she's won plenty of shows. She has like a team of women that are doing shows or and a couple men. I always forget about the men, but she has like, she calls them the divas. So we're the inner athlete divas and we're all going to be competing in like our own shows. So we're not all doing the same ones, but we're all training together, which has been really, really nice to have just like that. Reminds me like being like a college athlete again, you're with that team dynamic and you're all like pushing each other and you're wanting to be better. Yeah. So in Palm Springs, June 19th. So I cannot wait because Palm Springs is awesome. And that's actually one of Jason's and I, that was our first trip ever. Mm-hmm. Together. Yeah. That was our first trip together. So it'd be nice to go back to our old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
And plus after my show, I'll actually be able to celebrate and eat things like cake. So I cannot wait to enjoy that in Palm Springs.
Yeah, me too. Cause I'll be, what do you call it? Prepping. I'll be prepping with you food wise. So I'm going to be just as hangry as you are.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So for those of you who are like, what? Jason's not doing a show, but I told him since we're moving in together that because I'm on prep, he's on prep. And because it's not going to be fair if like we have all this like junk food, Oreos, cookies and cakes in the house and I can't eat them. So to save us both the both like some heartache on me, like getting on stage and being like sad or whatever. I was like, okay, you're going to be on prep with me. And he's like, he agreed. So shout out to him for being an awesome boyfriend and supporting me in a super tough endeavor, because diet is always the thing that's like the hardest to maintain.
Yes.
And it's 3 months long.
But I will say that part of it, yes, I want to support you, but part of it is selfish because beach weather's coming up. So I got to make sure I'm looking good for the summertime.
Plus you can't have kids. Plus I can't be some smoke show with like these like sexy abs and like a big old booty and you just like do whatever over there.
True. But I do want to point out to our listeners that I had abs way before you did.
But
quite a long time until our last trip and went away because of you.
No. And I want to point out to the listeners that he also had noodle arms before he met me. And then I got him in the gym. For those of you who are just listening, he just flexed and tried to show off his muscles.
This shirt's too tight. I got to upgrade. All right. So we got that in June. That's going to be awesome. So then the last thing I want to talk about is your transition and your new job? Question mark?
Yeah. So, so one of the things that I like was extremely underprepared for leaving the military is applying for jobs and how much work it takes to get a job. Being a military grad, you already get like all the gold stars. But then again, then I get to add like I'm an African American, I'm a woman, and it's just like especially in like this time, like I'm a hot commodity, which feels really good. I almost feel like this time of applying for jobs is almost, it feels like being courted. Like there's people like, oh, we want to hire you for this much, and oh, we want to hire you for this much. But to get to that point takes so much work. And you watch TV and it's like you see a guy walk into a room, he sits down, they do the interview, and then they stand up and like you're hired and they shake your hand. In the real world, you have 6, sometimes 7, 8 interviews with multiple people that are an hour each. Sometimes you have to do like assessments, or you have to give them like a task, like they'll actually do like some kind of written proposal or whatever. And it's very time consuming because you also have to prepare for these interviews. It's not like you just walk in and be like, oh, hey, like here I am. Just ask me questions and I'll figure it out along the way. Like they expect you to be prepared. They expect you to know about the company. They expect you to look up the person that's interviewing you. There's a lot of work that goes into each one of these things. And if you're applying, you know, you go on LinkedIn or whatever or Indeed and you're putting your resume out to 20 different companies and you get 4 callbacks, that's potentially if each company has 5 interviews each, that's 20 interviews that you're prepping for, plus some assessments or whatever else they're having you do. So it's been very time consuming and very exhausting. But I think I'm getting to the point where I'm narrowing down what I want to do. I mentioned before, I want to continue project management because I love project management. It's one of those weird jobs where like you need to be like super organized and think on your feet and like you have to enjoy a challenge. I have like planners and I have lists for my lists and then lists for those lists because I'm just like a time Nazi and. That's really something you have to do very well to be a project manager. So I'm narrowing it down and I think I'm going to have some big things in store come June. So stay tuned and I'll keep you guys posted, but I'm excited.
Yeah. Next change my mind. we'll give an update on all your endeavors.
Yeah. We'll give an update before I destroy you with whatever my argument is.
Our next one might actually be in person.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We have to figure out what topic we're going to talk about because the people voted and I won the last one. Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. But it's a bullshit popularity contest. Because you're cuter than me. That's not fair.
Oh, I just think I have some very valid points. And if you haven't listened to that, you should go listen to it. And then just tell him how much that you think that I won.
Okay. You and I both know that means it's last call. I think that's all the time we have for this show. But before we sign off, is there anything you want to say to the people listening besides that you beat me in our last episode? Anything else?
Yeah, I just want to tell people, being a personal trainer and how much health and wellness matters to me. If you're kind of contemplating your journey or you haven't started and you're waiting for it, like the hardest part is starting. So just get out there and do it. Like find, you know, there's so many, especially in this world of like virtual living, there's so many just like online things you can do if you don't have a gym yet. There's so many at-home workouts people are offering. Like I put them on my YouTube, I put them on my Instagram. Like there's something for everybody out there. And one of my number one fitness tips for my clients is you don't make a decision on whether or not you want to work out until you put on your workout clothes. Because then 9 times out of 10, you're like, well, I'm already dressed, so I might as well just go and do it. But if you make a decision while you're in your pajamas, it's much easier to tell yourself no. But if you take the time to put on your gym clothes and you're all ready to go, and then you make a decision whether or not you still want to go to the gym, you're most likely going to just go anyways. So that's my fitness tip, and hope you guys use it and share it, and it helps you out.
That's a good tip. You want to shout out your Instagram and your YouTube? Want to give the deets?
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram at WTW_fit. You can look me up on YouTube, Worth the Weight Fitness. If you're into weenie dogs, my dog has Instagram at @hotdoghazel. @hotdog_hazel. She's a cutie. So
there she is. She is dead to the world. Don't forget, tell them about your TikTok.
Oh, I also have a recently got into TikTok. That is a whole world that's I'm not an expert in. And it's very, I don't know. I don't understand it. And I don't think I'll ever understand it, but I have one. It's the same as my Instagram at WTW_fit.
What's your website?
Oh, my website is WTWfitness.com. So if you're in the need for a personal trainer, or you just want to talk about your fitness goals, or you have questions about working out, please feel free to reach out to me. You know, I am an open book and I don't mind helping. So looking forward to hearing from you guys.
Do potential clients have to be in the DMV area?
No. So I do online. I do virtual sessions, so like over FaceTime or Zoom. And then, of course, I do in-person.
And the written sessions, right? The homework sessions?
Yeah, yeah. I also like have just like written programs I'll send out, and then they can follow along by themselves.
There you go. That's all the info. So reach out if you have any questions or have any tips, or you can reach out to me and I'll forward your info over to Rhea. All right. Babe, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you coming on and talking to me and talking to the world about your business and your goals. And I'm super excited for what the future holds for you and us, but mainly you. Can't wait to see you do great things. And I'm
just saying that because you
not wait to be a part of it.
Stay at home husband and just use all my money.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And I'll cook you spaghetti every night. All right. It's closing time, y'all. Thank you again to everyone for taking a little bit of time out of your day to listen and support the Sailor's Port Call podcast. I truly appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Pandora, or you can head to the sailorsportcall.buzzsprout.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Sailor's Port Call. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel for interview videos. And